Hello and welcome to Radio Free Palmer's Mat-Su Borough 2016 election interviews. I'm Kenny Linden, and joining me today in the studio is David Fuller, who is running for Palmer City Council. Welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Our theme for our questions, we have a set group of six questions that we'll be going through, is the more things change, the faster they change. So we'll go ahead and dive into our first question. And this first one is, how do you see yourself working with others serving council? Collaborate well across ideological divides? And although local elected positions are considered nonpartisan, how do you view political parties or ideology as influences on the current race?
Well, I've got 20 plus years of military service, and I've worked with all kinds of people across that spectrum, even foreign nationals. And, you know, you've got different beliefs, different ideologies, different doggone, ways of getting things done. And, you know, I've also got 15 years of community service under my belt. And again, it's just different ideologies, different ways to get things done. And I think what you need to do is work together to collaborate on what is the task at hand and what's the mission that needs to be accomplished. You have to give and you have to take and you have to make compromises. But overall, you know, I find that I can reach a common understanding or a common goal and attain that success by basically, you know, putting everything else aside and not looking at the individual that I'm dealing with or working with, but knowing that I have to work with them to get the job done and accomplish the mission. As for, you know, political parties, I'm nonpartisan myself. I don't belong to any party in particular. And I think it seems politics in recent years has devolved into an us versus them mentality instead of a civilized process. And, you know, I think that what it needs to happen is more compromise and more understanding. I mean, we're not always going to get our way, but we need to give and take to get the goals accomplished for the community.
Have you served on any council before, or is this?
I'm a member of the, Planning and Zoning Commission?
Planning and Zoning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you run into the same sort of dynamics with collaborating?
Yeah, well, we have disagreements on the commission, but basically, I mean, if you look at what's laid out in the comprehensive plan and, you know, what's laid out in guidance, you know, with ordinances and whatnot, then you use that as your guideline. And there have been times when I haven't gotten my way and, you know, but that's how the process works. We're not going to win all the battles, but we need to win, you know, the big enchilada in the end.
Hmm. Diving into our next question, how do you reach your constituents? So these would be your future constituents, especially those feeling left out of the public policy conversation or those that may feel disenfranchised.
Well, basically Facebook's the biggest one. It's a free one. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, like at work, just talking with people, interacting with people in the various clubs and organizations I belong with. I like to doggone try and hit all of the meetings from, you know, Parks and Rec, Board of Economic Development, Planning and Zoning, Airport Advisory, and the City Council meetings. I hit quite a few of them over the last couple, you know, after last over a year now.
I've been attending them
and then been sitting on the one Planning and Zoning. But the big thing is I take back to people in the community. I say, look, you know, this is what you missed last night, or do you know what's going on? Recently, we were able to get a lot of people involved in coming out for the term limits when they were going to put that, where they were talking about putting it on a ballot initiative. It didn't happen, but a lot of people came out. A lot of people got involved. A lot of people got interested. Utilizing Facebook, we reached out to people. You know, it didn't kind of go the way we wanted it to, but at least we got it out there. And I think that's the biggest thing it reflects in the voter turnout, that people are disenfranchised. People don't think that – they think it's kind of – I think there's a belief that it's the same old, and there's nothing they can do to fix it, you know. But I think if you kind of get these people together, get them out and get them voting, you'll see a real big change.
What about for those of members of our community that might not be on social media? Do you have other tactics or other ways?
Like when I interact with people, my wife and I, we worked at the fair this year, serving beer at the concerts and whatnot. We met a vast spectrum of people from Palmer and from the outside of the Palmer community. And basically, you know, it's like, this is what we do. This is what we, you know, this is how we get involved. And we just kind of throw that out there and talk to people about it. You always hear people bellyache and stuff about things, but you know, if you kind of throw some information their way and it kind of, oh, really? No kidding. How did you find that out? Oh, I went here, or I did this, or I looked at this. You know, give them something solid and concrete to find, you know, or, you know, guide them in that direction.
Do you think it will be more difficult if you become a city council member to make the time to reach out to constituents, or do you think it will be an easier?
Well, I don't think it'll be more difficult. It's always going to be difficult, you know, to get out to people and find, you know, the thing is to motivate them to get out to the polls and take action. You know, that's the big, I think that's the hardest thing right there. But just, you know, I could keep throwing stuff out. I've got a site on Facebook, Dave Fuller for Palmer City Council. But it's basically if people are reading it, if they're getting something out of it, that's the hard part.
Great. And you mentioned this a little bit, actually, in this last question. Our next question is about term limits. Mm-hmm. So what is your stance on term limits? And like you had briefly mentioned, Palmer City Council has discussed possibly putting a ballot initiative on, which that failed just about a month or so ago. And should there be more discussion around term limits?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I totally agree on term limits. I think the people should decide on how our elected officials are elected and how they doggone do their job. I mean, they're the ones that are going to set the rules. They're the ones that put them in that position. Since the mid-20th century, politics has become less an act of public service, and it seems more of a career choice for individuals that are kind of self-serving. You know, you got to ask yourself, why are there retirement benefit packages for political officials anymore? I mean, it doesn't make sense. If they're there to serve the public, I believe in, you know, being compensated, but one has to, you know, kind of question that. I spoke up at least two times during the public hearings for term limits. And believe it or not, throughout the entire process, I think there was only one individual who was a former city council member that spoke in favor or against term limits. Mm. So it was kind of disappointing, but that's how it works. I mean, you know, we can attack it again some other time.
Is that something that you would try to push for if you become
a
city council member?
I'd like to work with Councilman, forgot his name. I just spaced it. I just blanked his name.
Pete LaFrance.
Pete LaFrance, yes. I'm sorry. God, he's going to kill me. But Pete LaFrance brought it up, and I'd like to get with him and maybe work together with him to doggone, you know, reinvigorate that. I think it came out to a deadlock of 3-3 with one of the councilmen not attending that evening. So, you know, see what happens next.
Do you think that? I think it's an interesting conversation, especially considering the city council itself voting whether or not to have term limits on themselves or to be able to bring it to a ballot
initiative.
Like I said,
any means of which to decide how the council does their job or how they get elected or how it's the people that are putting them into that job. You know, we're the boss. I mean, that's what people need to understand is we're the boss of the council by voting, you know, and if we want to do term limits, you know, we need to take action. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like I said, from perception's reality, it's the perception is the council believes they have a better judgment of the people. I disagree. But again, we got to play by the rules, and that's how the rules work.
Great. And moving on to our next question. How do you view your relationship with the state as a local policymaker? And do you support being a member of statewide organizations such as the Alaska Municipal League? And what would you like to see in the working budget relationship with the state in light of the current fiscal crisis? This is a pretty
broad question.
we can unpack
look
this
up a lot of stuff on that. But I believe that though as a local policymaker, it's going to be my job to understand and prioritize the needs of Palmer. Help develop a plan to satisfy those needs and then communicate those needs to the state of Alaska via our House and Senate representatives so that those needs can be, you know, satisfied. Basically, I do not believe in kicking a can down the road. And as for being a member of the AML, I understand that they are a voluntary, nonprofit, nonpartisan statewide organization of 164 cities, boroughs, and unified municipalities. They're representing statewide organization, or they're representing over 97% of Alaska's residents. Their mission is to represent the unified voice of Alaska's local governments and to successfully influence state and federal decision making build consensus and partnerships to address Alaska's challenges, and provide training and joint services to strengthen Alaska's local governments. So basically, in a nutshell, it's basically to bring everybody in, I think, to educate basically politicians or you know, community council members, assembly members, explain to them the rules, how things work, you know, kind of guide them in that direction. And then basically is, so if Wasilla is going to go down this road, they can go and talk to Palmer and Houston and say, hey, you know, which way are you guys going? I think it's a way to coordinate efforts, or maybe doggone keep efforts from being replicated. Also, you know, if we watch, hey, Wasilla is going to go and do this program and we're thinking about it, and we watch them kind of turn into a giant dumpster fire, we can say, oh, wow, we're not going to make those mistakes, and maybe redirect our action. It seems like a good organization. Again, I'm getting educated on it. And it's a great question to get me in working in that direction. But yeah, that's, I think then, as the last question was about the state, I think what we need to do, especially now that the budgets are getting tighter, is we need to highlight and prioritize the city's needs that we need to all get done. The big one would be the $5 million bond to get the wastewater treatment plant done. You know, if we're going to go to the state with something, we need to doggone emphasize how important it is, why it's more important than, say, Wasilla's program or Houston's program or Bethel's program, and basically explain that this needs to get done, we need to have it done, and we need help to get it done. And how are we going to doggone spend that money? How are we going to doggone proctor it down the road? How are we going to maintain it? We need to have a lock-solid plan to convince them that, yeah, hey, Palmer's got it going on. They know what's going on. They know how to doggone manage this, and they're not going to just waste away our money.
Do you think we're doing that effectively at the moment?
I think so. You know, I mean, if you, a good, again, going back to the wastewater treatment plant, a good 90%, I'm not going to say 90%, a good portion, I mean, a very huge portion of that has been paid for by grants and state funds, and I believe federal funds. The city has put very little into it out of its own coffers. So, I mean, managing it, it basically we're doing something right there.
Do you think that is part of the purview of the city council, or is that something that is more that because with the city manager, or the relationship between the two?
I think it's both. I think it's the city manager and then getting the go ahead from the council. So the city manager, he's got to find these grants. He's got to doggone take them out there, and then he's got to run it by the council, who's going to say yay or nay, but he's got to sell it. And, you know, and then it's the guidance of the council as to where he goes next.
I think that, and that's a nice segue into our next question, and we might bounce back a little bit, but
okay.
What is your perspective on the way the current city council functions? And if you believe there should be changes, what, if any, do you propose?
Well, I honestly, and you know, like I said, I think they're run really great. You can go up, I feel that you can go up and basically address any one of them, to include the mayor. And they're going to give you a straight answer. They're going to give you an explanation, or they're going to guide you in the right direction to get the answer you need, whether it has to do with ordinances, or why the meeting is running the way the meeting is, or why they voted on the way they voted. I think it's real transparent, real honest. Believe it or not, I really do. I do disagree, though. Like I said, the with the public comment during that one period, you know, you had a lot of people show up, a lot of people send in public testimony wanting to see this thing hit the ballot. And again, they didn't do it. I mean, that's my only peeve, but again, it's part of the, you know, nature of the beast. It's everybody played by the rules.
What do you think is the recourse for the community in that sort of situation?
Well, I think the recourse for the community would be to go out and do a petition and put it on the ballot themselves. You know, in this case, though, the city council doesn't get to dictate what that's going to be unless they attack it again, you know, and come up with something similar to put on the ballot. So, I mean, you know, the council had an opportunity to draft and propose something that they know that's going out there. Now it's going to be an individual from the city if they decide to step up and go that route.
Is there a particular aspect of the council, or of advocating for the community, or something that really draws you to want to run for city council?
I don't say that again.
Is there a particular issue, or is there a particular aspect of being on the city council that appeals to you when it comes to why you decided to run for city council?
Well, I'd like to see Palmer grow and grow smart. You know, right now we've got a water and wastewater infrastructure that's runs all the way out to Four Corners and down to the hospital, serves the college, you know, and yet we're a city within 3, you know, square miles. So, I mean, I think that if we want to grow into the future, we need to start expanding. We need to start looking at different doggone revenue bases for, you know, sales tax and whatnot to take advantage of. You know, they're supposed to be putting out a similar to Tocotnoo Commons in Muldoon in Anchorage. They're looking at doing something similar there at Four Corners on that pad. I don't know exactly what it's called, but when that goes in, that's a huge, huge doggone revenue stream that the city could take advantage of in the form of sales tax. And we should be looking forward to that. Right now, I mean, we're kind of letting DOT do their way with the city. The city's divided now by the Bogart extension. We've got the Glen Highway with going to be, you know, changed around. We've got stoplights through the city. You know, during fair time, it's crazy. I mean, I think that's stuff that we need to doggone start looking at for down the road. We want to keep this small town atmosphere or this small town image. But I think if we're kind of letting ourselves be divided up and bisected when DOT comes through and puts in a new road or does an extension or makes a modification.
So when you talk about seeing Palmer grow, you're talking about in the actual physical sense of expanding city limits.
It's going to happen. I mean, it's inevitable. It's going to happen, but we need to do it, and we need to do it smart. We need to educate those people the benefits of joining the city, you know, to basically bring them on board. I don't think that was done the last time they talked about it.
Is that something that's come up in the Planning and Zoning Commission?
It hasn't come up in the Planning and Zoning Commission officially, but we have talked about it, you know, down the road is something that could be addressed. Mr. Carrington, who's running for re-election, has brought it up several times, you know, in the last couple of months during, you know, city council meetings in his closing comments. I mean, he sees the writing on the wall as well. The city needs to start looking down the road. We can't keep a tunnel vision of, you know, just what we have now.
Is that something that you've heard from multiple community members as well and from other constituents in Palmer?
Well, there's a lot of people that think they live in Palmer that don't, you know. And like I said, we are growing, but we're not growing the border. We're growing our infrastructure out. We're doing a lot of things that we need to start looking at beyond just what we encompass right now.
And are you looking at it specifically from a tax base as well? You talked about our water and wastewater services being outside of city limits, mm-hmm. and mentioning Four Corners and out towards the hospital as well.
Well, yeah, down the road, like I said, the belt's going to get tighter from the state. We've got to start looking at how are we going to maintain and manage the current status quo of city services and whatnot down the road.
Are there other, you mentioned different revenue bases. Are there other things that come to mind besides just expanding city limits, or are there tax things, or what are you imagining when it comes to?
Right now I'm looking at, you know,
differentiated
more businesses bringing them into the sales tax, especially, like I said, if you can include we could be a college town. We could be a doggone, we're a destination city in the summer for events. You know, you bring in a tax base like that would be created out there at Four Corners. You know, that's one heck of a something that we can take advantage of.
Great. And moving into our last question, what do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience?
I think that the constituents are the ones that put me in that position, and they're the ones that I'm representing. I'm going to vote their will, hopefully 99.9% of the time, unless it's something that is completely like we're going to vote on a bill that's going to eliminate all our taxes. I mean, that's just foolish. I mean, everybody loves it. I love it, but that's just, I think that I'm going to be elected by my constituents. They're going to trust me to represent their concerns as well as trust that I have the conscience to make equal, ethical, and prudent decisions on controversial topics. I mean, there's some things that just would be great. Yeah, the city of Palmer is going to pay everybody $100 a month. That's not going to fly.
Do you think that's also a place where you start developing your relationships with constituents that obviously might have differing opinions.
To balance that? Going door to door, I met all kinds of different people and all kinds of different opinions on things. And it's just, like I said, there's a diverse group when you're in the Valley, and you can go completely to the right and completely to the left. But it's just, you got to get everybody in the middle to make things happen and make things go in the positive direction.
Do you think that's also part of the reason why people aren't showing up for, you said you've been attending city council meetings for the last year?
Sometimes it's pretty dead. I mean, like when they renamed the airport, we had a lot of people come in. Mm-hmm. When we had the issue of term limits, a lot of people came in. Board of Economic Development, PNZ, Planning and Zoning, and Parks and Rec, those meetings are pretty dead. I would encourage a lot of people, just come out and check out a meeting. Come, you know, see what they're talking about, you know? I mean, it would really behoove you to kind of get involved and just kind of take advantage of that. I think the biggest planning and zoning meeting we had was when we had the planned use development out there at by the middle school. And I think that's coming back again. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that I think Palmer should take an interest in.
Is there, do you have any thoughts on ways to try to pull in, especially working professionals that live in Anchorage, possibly, and are commuting back and forth from Palmer to Anchorage and maybe not necessarily have the time or aren't able to get to these meetings?
Yeah, no, actually, and this is something me and my wife were talking about. You see now recently Facebook's got a live stream. And, you know, that would be something right there. You just turn it. I mean, the Matsu Miners are doing it with their baseball games, but you throw it up. You could actually sit there, flip it on, come back to it later. There it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot of stuff out there if we get creative enough to get people involved. I mean, if people could actually sit down and see this stuff, I think it's great that the radio station comes out and does that. It would be even better if we could see all the meetings like planning and zoning, parks and rec and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Just from conversations I've had with other residents, it seems like sometimes there's a feeling of secretiveness that goes into the public policy process. Have you heard that, or is that something that...
I think that's something that's like a nature of the beast of politics, period. You always there's always that conspiracy theory of, oh, yeah, those guys are doing this, this, and this. I mean, we're in, you know, economic dilemma because this guy sold the farm to the oil companies. I think you're always going to get that everywhere you go. I think if you go to the meetings, I think if you take advantage of the public record and, you know, go to City Hall and say, hey, I want to see, you know, what is this document? What is that document? It's really easy to do.
Great. Thank you. And we are coming towards the end. And any last comment that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, like I said, I would love to see everybody or as many people come out and vote this October 4th. And I'd love your vote. But if you come out and vote, just vote for somebody. I'd rather lose to a doggone windfall of voters than win to a handful.
I think also the explanation that we have three individuals running for city council and two seats.
Four.
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 We have four
individuals, two seats.
Four seats or four individuals, two seats, and you can vote for two.
You can vote for two, yes.
Yep. Okay. Good to know. Thank you very much,
no
David
problem.
Fuller. And this is Radio Free Palmer, and Election Day is next Tuesday, October 4th, 2016. Please go out and vote. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.